So had a fun weekend this weekend. I've got two little boys, and we did something new for our family. We went to the zoo for the first time. Anybody been to the zoo? So for two little boys, that's heaven for them. It's amazing. So here's some pictures of us at the zoo. There's my youngest, Abel, staring at, he calls them rafts. Raff, raff. He couldn't focus anywhere because there were animals everywhere. Really, now the only thing he remembers were that the cougars, the mountain lions, were asleep. So we're like, hey, Abel, how was the zoo? And he goes, meow, nah, night. So apparently he had a blast. Not really. But so that's us staring at the giraffes. We saw elephants, all these other things. We had more pictures of Abel because he actually pays attention. Hugh is asleep most of the time, but we had proof that he was at the zoo too, trying to see the cheetahs, even though they're disappeared. I think that's the only picture we have of him out of like 50 of Hugh. But he was there. And so on one day, on Friday, we're having the best, this awesome time as a family, and we're hanging out and all as it should be and all is well and just great memories and having fun. And the next day, here's my son Hugh. This is Saturday. Hugh's in a hospital bed hooked up to oxygen because he's not breathing right. And he needs help breathing, and so it was just this weird difference that a day can bring. And as I've been going through this with my family this weekend, it made me see, as a father, as a daddy, it made me see something about God, and just realize that in a new way. Because see, what happened is, one day in the span of eternity, God in his fullness, the triune God, God the Father and God the Son was standing, sitting next to him, seated by the right hand of the Father, the Spirit dwelling with them in the fullness of unity and oneness in heaven, all as it should be, in fullness of glory, fully enjoying who they are in relationship with one another. That's what's happening one day. And the next, Jesus is strapped to a tree. Nailed to a cross, naked, beaten by the very people that he came to save. Why would a God do that? Why would this good father we sing at, this loving father, why would he allow his son to be in such a situation? You want to know why? Because he loves you. Because he cares deeply for you. Because he knew that the only way that he could have relationship with you was to pay that penalty himself. He also knew that wasn't the end. So those aren't the same situations that my son and Jesus went through. My son is sick. My son will get better. He is going to be okay. He happened to be in this situation. He didn't choose it. Jesus chose that situation for you. God chose to allow that situation to happen because he loves you. He chose to take on the sickness. You see my son in that bed. It is not as it should be. This world was not and is not as it should be. And God chose to look on that and not just allow you to go through something like that, but to take the sickness of your sin upon himself in the person of Jesus and go to the cross to die for you. And we celebrate it. And it's called Easter. How could you celebrate such a thing? Because God won. Last weekend, we looked at Easter. Good Friday is when the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, died on the cross willingly. He didn't get defeated because men were more powerful than him. He went to the cross on your behalf. We celebrate because he rose from the grave. That first song we sang, he ran out of the grave. The world is forever a different place because of what Jesus did. Easter changes it all. Easter changes the game. Why are we talking about this in the context of this series that we've been in talking about serving? That's because Easter gave us a mission. Easter gave us a new mission. And we're going to look at that this morning. Easter is the whole reason that we are called to go out and love and serve others. In this series, Shape Up and Ship Out, we've been talking about this difference between a cruise ship versus a battleship. So a cruise ship, you look at this, this is a place where it's all about you, all about your entertainment and your fun and the food that you can eat, as much food as you can eat. It's all about you having a blast, all about your experience and people serving you. And sometimes, a lot of times, that's what people see the church as. Let me just come and be entertained. And we looked at, man, the church isn't a cruise ship where you're picking and choosing what you want and how you want it. The church is more like a battleship. This picture here, because we are at war, and you are a soldier in that war. We are together. The church is going through the waters of this world, and we are on mission together, equipping ourselves, training ourselves to man a post on this ship, this church, to love and serve one another. But we're not just called to stop there. So we looked at that as the big picture 2 weeks ago before Easter. We looked at, okay, what is my responsibility as a junior high student? What can I do to serve? What gifts do I have? Where can I see the need that's there? How can I man a post on this ship to equip myself, to train myself, to love others on this mission we're on here? And we do all of that, not so that we can just go and fight others and kill them and we're the church and we're awesome. No, we're called to love and serve and protect. We are on mission. And what Jesus did is because of his death and resurrection, he then left it into the hands of us, the church, to continue the mission, to further the mission, to go out to love, serve, and protect all those throughout the world with the name of Jesus. So we're going to look at that this morning. It's not a cruise ship, it's a battleship, and we are on mission to go and love and serve others. So open up your Bibles, go to Matthew 28, if you got them. We're going to go to a couple different places. I want you to see, this is, both of these are right after Jesus has gone through this Easter weekend. So Good Friday, he goes to the cross. There are a lot of events there. If you don't remember those, you should read them. It's crazy what our Savior went through for us. But Good Friday, it didn't stop there. He rose from the dead. People saw him, and he's with them here, his disciples and others, and he's speaking to them before he goes up into heaven. This is what he says. 28, starting in verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So he says, "Go therefore, because of all this authority that's been given to me, I now give it to you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He says, you want to know your mission? You want to know why I've been here and why I'm giving it to you? Go tell them. Go tell them of how much I love you. Go tell them how much God loves each and every one of them. Tell them what happened. Tell them how your life is different because of it. You heard the song we came into by Lecrae. Tell the world, tell them everywhere I go. It sounds cool when it's in a rap, but that's the mission. This is the Great Commission, is what this little passage is known as. So when a soldier enlists and is trained, is equipped, he or she goes to a boot camp, a training facility, they get ready, and then they are commissioned as a soldier in the U.S. military. They are commissioned as someone with specific marching orders to go. You, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, have this commission and this mission to go, to tell them, to start there. Hey, can I tell you who Jesus is and what he did, what he's done in my life? But even more than that, verse 19 says, go make disciples. Yes, it's important to have conversations. Yes, it's important to even wrestle academically. Hey, what do you think? What's your theology? It's important to share the gospel, your testimony. All of that is good and necessary. But even more than that, give of your life. Give of who you are so that others may benefit. Soldiers are sent to love, serve, and protect. Soldiers go out and fight for freedom. They go out and fight for the freedom that we have as U.S. citizens. And not only just to protect us, they go out to fight for freedom for other people who don't have them, not to just kill them, but to love them so that they can be free too, even if it costs their life, even if knowing that they may not return. But they're called to love and serve and protect others. And so give of your life to love someone else so that they can have this freedom too, so that they can know how to walk with Jesus. If you're in a small group, you heard Rebe talk about that. Those leaders that you hang with every week, they are not paid by Watermark to hang out with you. They do it because they love you. Many of you guys will be in that same group all the way through graduating high school. These leaders will have been giving of their lives every week for 7 years just because they want you to experience that freedom in Christ. Not just be saved. Oh, great, you're in. We'll see in heaven. But to give of their life so that you can know how to walk with him. That is all summed up in this word, disciples, discipleship. That's the mission. And Jesus says, this authority that I have, I give it to you. I am with you always to the end of the age. So go tell them. Another place we see this. This is at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the end of the story of Jesus in one of the Gospel accounts. There's a book called Acts that tells of the beginning of the church, how the church started and formed, and how the message of the gospel went all throughout the land at the time. And now, how we are even here talking about this very thing. So go to Acts 1. If you got it, we'll put it on the screen too. Acts 1, 6 through 9. Again, this is the same scene, this scene where Jesus is about to be taken up into heaven and he gives them a mission. So when they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is because the people thought, hey, a Savior's coming. He's going to rescue us and save us. He's going to save us from Rome. He's going to save us from these people that hate us and are powering over us. But God had an even better plan, an even greater mission for us to be a part of. So Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him into their sight. Took him out of their sight, not into their sight, out of their sight. Jesus, while he was here, he said, hey, it's better for you that I leave because I'm going to send a helper. It's better for you that I'm not here. You're like, that's crazy. How cool if Jesus was here with us. How cool if Jesus was just on the front row taking notes. How scary would that be to teach to Jesus? Like, and you're doing a game in front of, you're like, man, no, that'd be crazy. I'd love to hang out with him. Well, Jesus said, even greater than me being here is the Spirit of God, God's presence living in and through you. Not just when we're at church, but wherever you go. The Spirit of God will come upon you. In Acts, we see the Holy Spirit does come for those who believe and surrender, believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess that he is God. You're saved. And the Spirit of God dwells in you, and then we are sent on mission. It says here, to be witnesses, to tell of the good news of who Jesus is, to witness with how we live our life in Jerusalem, where they live, to Judea, the surrounding areas, Samaria, even further, the next surrounding nation, and the ends of the earth. That is the mission that you are on as the church. And so when someone is given this mission, they're trained here, they're equipped here, they are loving and learning how to serve with one another, they are then sent out. And so, guys, because of this mission and these marching orders, you're deployed. When a soldier has all that they need, they are then sent on a deployment, sent away from their training ground and where they're used to be, and they are deployed to go and fulfill the mission. Whatever it takes, whatever they need to do, you are deployed. And so some of you guys, you're going to be, you'll be stationed at different places. Some of you this week are going to be stationed in different areas of the city, different places where you get to serve and love and protect. Regardless of where you are, you have the same mission. And it's not different. It's just different depending on where you are. So some soldiers, They serve domestically on friendly territory, is what we could think it of. So some people, they go to another state, another city, and they're serving on a base there, a soldier. They are then stationed somewhere. Their deployment is not necessarily internationally or somewhere different, but right here. And they serve and protect those they love here. That's why you see them at Whataburger sometimes. Some are then sent overseas into dangerous areas, into places where they can't even tell others where they are. They're sent into places where people are trying to kill them and destroy them. They think differently than them. They are all on the same mission to love, serve, and protect others. This week, some of you may be on friendly territory. Some of you may be in enemy territory. What do I mean by that? Raise your hand if you go to a private school, Christian school. Kind of, yes and no. So some of you may go, I've even heard you say, oh, Harrison, some of these things you tell us to go love others and share the gospel. Man, I'm at a Christian school. Everybody's a believer there. Who cares? Not who cares, but it's the same mission to go love, serve, protect, to make disciples. The gospel's just as necessary for people who say they follow Jesus and walk with Jesus. I need to hear the gospel, not so that I can come to Christ again, but be reminded of who God is and his love for me and what he's done, to be encouraged so that I can know him and walk with him even more intimately. Yeah, it might be friendly soil, but you are serving and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, or encouraging and protecting them the same. Others, you may go, hey, I go to a public school, and they're crazy, man. They're so different than me. They're doing things that are different than I want to do, and I just stick out, and it's weird. I know I should share the gospel. I don't know what to do. Yeah, it might be different, but your mission is no different than anyone else's. When we leave here, we are soldiers called to love and serve and protect for the glory of God. And I want you to hear something. Everybody, but especially if you go to public school, unbelievers are not the enemy. People who don't follow Jesus, people who don't go to church, people who go to a different denomination, they're not the enemy. There's an even greater enemy out there, and it's Satan and his minions, Satan and the demons. They are not an equal enemy to God. We talked about this a few weeks ago. God and Satan are not on the same playing field trying to duke it out, and we see what happens. God wins. God is more powerful. But until Jesus returns and calls us home, Satan has reign over the earth. He's not omnipresent and all-powerful like God is, but he is deceptive. And he is the enemy out to seek, kill, and destroy you and anyone around you. Now, you have the authority of Jesus, the Spirit of God in you. You have everything you need and believers around you. Unbelievers are not the enemy. They are who we are called to love, serve, and protect, as well as believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, to love, serve, and protect for the glory of God, to serve others, to go out on mission. You are deployed. So what's your mission? Yeah, share the gospel. But more than that, yes, to share the gospel, but more than that, to give of your life. Austin, I love that you shared that. Yes, ma'am.
I read this in a book somewhere, but it says, love the sinners, hate the sinners.
Yeah, there is a phrase out there to hate the sin, but love the sinner. And really what we want to do is just love people. We are all broken. We are all sinful people. And we want to just hate sin, period, and love people and show them to Jesus, not so that they will be changed and stop being this or that or doing this or that, but so that they will know our Savior and be free, like we've hopefully experienced, or that we want you to experience. So your mission. For the disciples, it was in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. For you, that's where you are, where you're going, and wherever you will be this week. Your mission is anywhere you are. It's going to be after this service, how you love and serve one another. When you're in the car, how you interact with your family. Where you go to eat, potentially, how you love your server, and not just hate how they will serve you. When you go to school this week, how you're going to interact with your peers, how you're going to treat your coach, how you're going to be respectful to your teacher. Wherever you are called to serve as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So, your deployment and your mission this week is your family, your school, and then any extracurricular activities wherever you are. You are called to serve, not just when you go to Dallas Experience this summer, not just when you're on a mission trip overseas, not just when you're being intentional to help other people. Wherever you are, you should be intentional to further the love of Christ, who served you and demonstrated that for you by giving of himself fully, even to death, so that you could know God and others could come to know God as you show your life living in Christ with them. So let me give you some examples. Some things that you can do. You could do the dishes without being asked. Oh, that's tough. Yeah, it is. Because a lot of times it's about us and our cruise ship mentality. But we're called to serve others. That's what we do as Christ followers. Maybe you could mow the lawn of your neighbor. Maybe they're just really old. Maybe they smell really bad and you don't want to be with them. Yeah, they might. But you can love them and serve them that way. Maybe this week, you don't call shotgun once. Oh, are you serious? I'm good at it. I can win. Well, maybe you just choose to take the back seat instead of the front seat. Serve your family that way. Yeah, it's hard. It doesn't have to just be big things, guys. It can be little things. Wherever you see a need, fill it. Write an encouraging note and leave it in a friend's locker. Leave it in their backpack. Just let them know you're thinking of them. Why don't you call a mom in your neighborhood? Offer to babysit for free. Come babysit for free in my house. Think of your mom's least favorite chore. Maybe it's not your responsibility, but something you see your mom do and you know it weighs on her. Why don't you just do it for her? Why don't you just give compliments anytime you can see it? You can send flowers to somebody. Write a note and encourage your teacher. Do one of your brothers and sisters' chores. That's a real act of service. To actually care and love for your little twerp sister or your annoying little brother. They're the worst.
My sibling is not the worst.
Oh, that's so good. Good. Man, hate mail from the crowd. Then love them. That's awesome. Do an even better job of loving them. Guys, think of what you can do that even others might do for you. I mean, think of when you're at a sports practice and you've got the Gatorade jug on the side and everyone grabs the little cone for water. You get water and you're exhausted. Maybe you toss it at the trash can and it misses and you're like, oh, I gotta keep running. Why don't after practice you be the one that picks up all of those and puts them in the trash so your coach doesn't have to? Even if you didn't do it, even if you never took a cup for water, why don't you do it anyways? Or hey, maybe when you guys are at practice and everybody's in trouble because you did terrible at the last game and everyone was jacking around and you're running suicides or you're running baseline to baseline, whatever it is, there's always the guy that's the slowest. You know what I'm talking about? There's always the girl that coaches like, hey, if you don't get in this time, we'll run it again. There's always the one who every time is the slowest. And you're like, come on, Jake. Make it to the line, dude. How about you run with him? How about you run neck and neck with him so he's not the only one that's last? But you love and serve him in that way. Guys, they're everywhere. Opportunities to serve, to love, and protect others are everywhere. We just have to pay attention. That's the mission. Yes, to share the gospel. But go model the gospel the way Jesus did. And then have a conversation afterwards. Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Or just choose to love somebody, even if you never get credit. That is the mission that we are on for the glory of God. Your mission is wherever you go, because Christ has already come for us. So we've said that there's this battleship analogy. The church is a battleship. Well, I've come to find out that that's actually a terrible analogy, and we've based our entire series on it. So it's a wrong analogy. The church is really not a battleship. Why? Because the battleship in the U.S. Navy no longer is commissioned. The Navy doesn't use battleships. They used to. They were good. But a battleship was a heavily armed ship It's the most, one of the most dangerous ships that would come up to somebody. It would be like, pah, 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 and they're toast. But you've got to be close to them or close to land, close to the target. What the U.S. Navy has moved to is more of a fleet of aircraft carriers, not where they're just shooting guns and everyone's taking a gun and, yeah, like we saw in Pearl Harbor. But they, look, here's an aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier is a floating airport, basically. You're like, how is that helpful? Well, this ship is equipped with all kinds of helicopters and fighter pilots. And you saw on the top, there was on the flight deck, there were all these planes. There's another deck below, sometimes two, that have even more planes. They are heavily armed because what they do is they know where the mission is. They've got everything that they need right on that ship. And they're not just trying to stay in the ship and go, we're going to protect you. We're going to fight you. Until everybody sinks. Sometimes that's what the church does. It's just us, and we're against the world. No, the church is meant to come together like we're doing, to love each other, to equip each other, to serve one another, to help give what we need, and then to go out and fulfill the mission. This is not the mission. This is where we're encouraged. We remind ourselves of the marching orders, and then there's a runway out those doors for you to take off wherever you're going this week. All of us have different places that we're going. All of us are on the same mission. To go, to love, serve, and protect. Not just to shoot people down. Not just be like, hey, I'm a believer. I believe in this stuff and you don't. That's not the gospel. As soldiers of Jesus Christ, you're called to love, serve, and protect, to give others the same freedom that hopefully you get to experience yourself. And if you don't, then let us tell you how you can come be on mission with us. Guys, go. Be on mission. And when you need to be refueled and reminded and encouraged, then you come back here. We will gather in here or in small groups. We'll love one another, but not think that this is what we're doing as our Christian service. As followers of Christ, we go. We are deployed, and we are called to love. Because, guys, there is a world out there full of people who are like me, whose sons are not feeling well and are sick in the hospital, whose brothers and sisters have been sick for a long time, maybe with cancer. People who you walk through the halls and they may have a smile on their face, but in their head they're wrestling with thoughts of harming themselves or even worse. People you know, not just people you walk by, who when we think of a family and how I could serve my family is not this picture-perfect family that maybe you have, but one of a broken home. That's hard to go to when they go home throughout the week. There are people out there, and maybe you're one of them in here, that we are called to love and serve and protect because that's what our Savior did for us. And because we have been given that freedom from sin forever and the weight of it and the death that comes because of it, but also because of the freedom, the life, the hope that we have now. We get to extend that to others. And so I pray that you join me this week to go love and serve others because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Let me pray, and then we'll go do it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that Christianity is not just a place of religious practice, of do these things this many times a day, these certain ways for this long. But God, you came for us. You cared so much. You came down to be with us, to stoop to our level, to take on what we deserve so that we could be reconciled to you, that our debt of the death of sin was paid for. You crucified it on the cross with you, and then you rose to new life and allowed us to rise to new life with you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells in us, that gives us the power, everything we need. We don't have to figure out how to just be nice to people or do good things for people or just make everyone's life better. We are just called to introduce them to you so that you can transform us, so that you can transform others. Lord, give us the boldness to share that. Allow us to love and serve each other here, even at church, even in children's ministry, to find a place to serve here. But let us not just check a box thinking we're good, but to leave each week with our eyes open for who it is that you'll introduce us to, who it is that we get to love, to go out of our way, to give of ourselves so that they can come to know you ultimately. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that even in spite of our brokenness, you have come to set us free, to make us wholly reconciled to you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have an awesome day. We'll see you next week.